Hello and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Hey, we're so glad you've joined us. Today, we're continuing a powerful series called Radicalis, Developing Spiritual Roots. And in this series, Rick will show you how to grow deep in your faith, stay grounded in God's Word, and become everything He created you to be. So let's join Rick right now for the final part of a message called Radical Love.
The book of Titus says the free gift, it's free gift, of eternal salvation is offered to who? Who? Everyone. Notice there's no mention of religion there. It doesn't say this is only offered to this religion or to that religion or to this group or to that group or that nationality. It says this is offered to everyone. Now, friends, I don't really care what your religious background is. You may be Catholic, Protestant, you may be Jewish. You may be Muslim or Mormon or Buddhist or Baptist or Hindu. You may be atheist or agnostic. I don't really care what your religious background is. Jesus still died for you. The free gift of eternal salvation is offered to everyone. Doesn't matter at all what your religious background is, because it's not about religion. It's about a relationship to Christ. Look at the next verse. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and you're ready to do as He says, the door is open. Notice He says there, regardless of your ethnic background, regardless of your economic background, regardless of your educational background, doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or who you've done it with or how long you did it. God says, I'm not interested in that. It's all about whoever believes on Him shall not perish. He said, it's about what I've done for you. It's not about what you do for me. It's amazing grace for every race. Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. How do I accept this offer? Whoever believes in Him shall not perish. Well, notice the next verse. The Bible says this. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that's what Easter's all about, you will be saved. Now, the problem with that verse, we don't understand the meaning of the word Lord, because we're not in a feudal system today. We're in a democracy in America. We elect our presidents and our congressmen and our senators. So we're not in a world of kings and queens and lords and ladies and your lordship. We don't have vassals and counts and serfs and knights and pages and lords. So the word Lord is not a word that we use frequently in our language. So what does it mean when I say I'm going to confess Jesus is my Lord? What's the modern component to it? The modern comparison is Jesus is my manager, my CEO, the chairman of my board. He's my boss. He's my supervisor. He's calling the shots in my life. Jesus is sitting in the driver's seat in my car. Jesus is the pilot of my plane. He is directing it. When you say Jesus is Lord, the best description of that is you put on a sign that says, I'm under new management. I'm under new management. See, before I opened my life to Christ, I was managing my own life. Wasn't doing a very good job of it. And because I was managing my own life, so I kept hitting a bunch of dead ends. I had broken relationships, had a lot of stress, a lot of worry, a lot of difficulty, had a lot of regrets in my life. Unnecessary tension. I really wasn't quite sure of what my purpose in life was because I was managing my own life. And at one point I said, okay, time out. I'm not doing that hot a job with it. I think I'm going to go with God because He made me. He loves me. He created me. He knows what will make me happy more than I do. He sent His Son to die for me. He wants me to live with Him in heaven. I think I'll let Him be the manager of my life. Under new management. That's what it means to say Jesus is the Lord of my life. He says, if you'll do that, if you'll say that, and then if you will believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead. Notice it doesn't say believe in your head, believe in your heart. Why? Because a lot of people miss heaven by 18 inches. They got it up here in their brain, but they don't have it here in their heart. In other words, they have an intellectual understanding of Jesus, but they have no heart or emotional commitment. See, just saying, oh, I believe in Jesus isn't enough. Oh, I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe He rose for our sins. And I mean, shoot, the devil believes that. But you're not going to find Him in heaven. 95% of Americans say, oh, shoot, I believe Jesus was who he said he was. Our whole calendar split into AD and BC by the life of Christ. But that's not enough. What does it really mean to believe? The word here in Greek in the original translation means, it's pistevo or pestuo. It means to trust in, to cling to rely on. It means to have a relationship with. That's what God wants, is a relationship with you. I could mention a bunch of famous people that I could say, I know that person, you would know who I'm talking about, but I don't really know them. I don't know what makes them tick. I don't know their internal workings. I certainly don't have an intimate relationship with them. But I know Jesus Christ. I've known him for 40 years. He's my best friend. I talk to him all the time, just like I'm talking to you. In fact, I was talking to him about you just a few minutes ago. And I don't have to close my eyes. I don't have to say thee and thou. I've developed a friendship that I can hear God speak to me in my heart and in my head, and I can talk to him, and you can do this too. God sent Christ not to give you a religion. God sent Christ to give you a relationship. In fact, what did Jesus come to do? Look on the screen. Jesus said this, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Now, that's a whole big different picture of God than most people have. Most people think God sits up in heaven waiting to catch you doing something wrong just so he can judge you, just so he can tell you what you did wrong, just so he can put you down, just so he can tell you, you should have done this, you should have done that, you must do this, you shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done that. Friends, that's not God, that's your parent. Don't confuse an unpleasable parent with God. A lot of people take their idea of their parents and put it on God and think God is unpleasable. God is not mad at you. He's mad about you. God so loved the world that he sent his son to die for you. Nobody's ever sent anybody to die for you except God. That whosoever believes in him, that's the great gift. I did not come to judge the world, but to save it. And it really doesn't matter what you've done. You know, over the many years here at Saddleback, over 20,000 adults have said, I confess Jesus is my Lord. I believe in my heart. I'm opening my life to Christ. I'm stepping across the line. I'm becoming a part of God's family. Over 20,000 people just in this church. Over 1,000 of them have come across this stage and told their stories. And those of you who've been here for years know that you've heard the most amazing stories you've ever heard of life transformation. Only God can make those changes. I thought this Christmas we'd put the testimony on video. Leo was a Cuban mafia in Miami. He was a drug runner, making a lot of money selling cocaine. And then he found how to open his life to Christ, and it was revolutionized and changed. I want you to hear his story. Listen to this.
I was born in Cuba, and at the age of 11, my parents brought us to the United States. We lived in the city of New Orleans, where I lived there for over 20 years. There I went to school, and in 1977, after having graduated from high school, I decided to move to Miami. This was the disco mecca, something that I was very involved in. It was really my lifestyle. I met a man named Manny, who would turn out to be my best friend. One night, as we went out, we walked into this club, and there was this guy that was causing a lot of attention and had all the girls around him. And as we got closer, it turned out to be Manny's uncle. He invited us to his table, and we hung out that night, and it wasn't long before he offered us if we'd be interested in come to work for him. We would get on a fast boat, and we would drive out to the open ocean, where we would meet a mother boat. This boat would unload these big bales of drugs, and we would haul them in. And we would get paid big amounts of money. After a while, we graduated to what turned out to be distributing cocaine. And if we were making a lot of money running the boats, this time the money duplicated. And here we are, Manny and I, out there at the disco, with more money in our pockets than we know what to do with. There was a lot of competition, and there was a lot of bloodshed, and the streets of Miami got very dangerous. And I found myself caught up in this business of money and blood. I would literally walk over dead bodies and left the person that I knew behind to die. I spent close to 3 or 4 years as a fugitive. Peace wasn't part of my life. Love wasn't part of my life. It was something that it was foreign because he didn't trust anybody. It's during this time that I was hiding out, if you will, in a bar, that I meet this beautiful girl that is 10 years younger than me. I wasn't out to meet anybody. I wasn't out for a relationship. And I kind of actually ran away from her, even though there was a sense that there was something special about her. In 1989, the law finally caught up with me. And I ended up doing close to 5 years in a federal institution in Tallahassee. I got out of prison and did my time. While at a restaurant one night, I run into Doris' stepfather. And this is when he breaks in the news that Doris has been waiting for me all this time, and she never gave up. And she invited me to come to church with her next day. Here I'm sitting at church, and I'm sitting by myself because she was part of the choir. And I don't know how this came about, but next thing I know, I was up front crying like a baby, giving my life to Jesus. I had a hard time understanding why will God receive me after the lifestyle that I lived, how he will love on me and accept me. That beautiful girl that I met that dark night in my life is today my wife. Come June 6th, it'll be our 14th anniversary. Out of this love union, we have two beautiful children, Samuel, my little man, he's 13, and Teresa, my baby girl, she's 7. So as I have shared this with you, I only have done it with one thing in mind, and it's knowing that if I went through all of these changes and I did all of this and yet he received me, I know that doesn't matter what it is that you've done, doesn't matter what it is that you have gone through, or even someone you love, that there's nothing that will hold you, that will keep you away from, that will separate you from the love of our most wonderful Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now you may think, no, God would never accept me. Well, he accepted Leo. Only God can make changes like that. Now let's review the greatest verse in the world. God so loved you, the greatest love, that he gave his only begotten son, the greatest sacrifice. Nobody's ever made that kind of sacrifice for you. That whoever believes in him should not perish. That's the greatest offer. But have eternal life. That's the greatest gift. You know, you get a lot of gifts at Christmas that don't last 6 months, much less 60 years. Some of your gifts, most of your gifts, you can't even remember what you got last year. This is a gift that will last forever. Eternal life. Now, what does that mean? You say, well, is that like going to heaven? Oh, yeah, it involves heaven. But eternal life is far more than just duration. It involves donation. It's a quality of life. In fact, there are three parts to eternal life. It begins the moment you open your heart to Christ. It's your past, it's your present, and your future. It's three-dimensional. Now, listen very closely. When you invite Christ into your life and accept his salvation, three things happen. You get your past forgiven. You get a purpose for living. You get a home in heaven. It takes care of your past, your present, your future. Past forgiven, everything you've ever done wrong, wiped out. Purpose for living while you're here on earth. Home in heaven for eternity. Where are you going to get a deal like that? Only God can make that kind of offer to you. And it is the free gift, and it's what Christmas is all about. Do you know why we give gifts at Christmas? It's because God gave us the first gift. The first gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And we give gifts in response to that. The whole idea of gift giving started because God gave you the first gift. Now, how silly would it be to go Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas after Christmas and never open your biggest gift? God's gift to you. The whole reason for Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That if you will believe in him, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. Past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. Look at what the Bible says. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we have been given a brand new life. That's the past. Completely, you know, wiped out. Get a new life. Have everything to live for. That's the present. And have a future in heaven. That's the future. And the future starts now. I wonder how many of these dimensions are you living in right now? Has your past been forgiven? Are you still carrying around guilt, regrets, resentment, and grudges? Don't carry those into the new decade. Leave them here. Let them go. Give them to God. Are you living with a purpose in life, or are you just kind of being drifting around, being pressured? So you'll either live by purpose or live by pressure in life. How about heaven? Are you certain of your home in heaven? Or are you afraid of death? I'm not afraid of death. I've been afraid of death for years. He says, I want to give you these things. And not only that, you become a part of God's family. The Bible says this, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now follow me very closely on this. Everybody in the world is created by God. Everybody in the world is loved by God, but not everybody in the world is in the family of God, because that's a choice. God's not going to force you to love him. You must choose to love his son to get in his family. And he's not going to force you to do that. You see, when you were born physically, you automatically became a part of the human race. You didn't have a choice. Sorry, you're part of the human race. But you didn't become a part of any specific family till somebody chose to take you home from the hospital. You must choose to be a part of God's family. Now, what would keep me from accepting this gift? Well, there are a couple things. One of them is fear. I wish somebody had told me a long time ago that I didn't have to have all my doubts answered and all my questions solved before I began a relationship with Jesus Christ. I would have done it a whole lot sooner. I just didn't understand that. You see, I've been a friend of Christ for over 40 years now, and I read this book, the Bible. There's still a lot of stuff in here I don't understand. There's still things I have doubts about, I have questions about. In fact, I've made a list. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, now, why did you do this, and why did you say this, and why did you do that? And you see, if I had been God, I wouldn't have done that. You ought to be glad I'm not God. I'm glad you're not God. But there are a lot of things I don't understand, that I have doubts, I have questions about. So what? That didn't stop me from enjoying a relationship with Christ. There's not a single other area in your life where you have to have everything figured out before you enjoy the benefit. You certainly didn't understand what it meant to be a parent before you became a parent. I mean, you get on planes all the time. I doubt you understand the physics of aerospace and aerodynamics. I certainly don't know how a multi-ton engine can fly up in the air, but I still trust the plane to get me somewhere. You don't understand how all a plane works, but you trust it to get you somewhere. I don't understand how right now there are radio and TV waves coming through this auditorium and with sound and pictures, and they're actually going through your body right now. I can't prove it, but they are. But if I have a tuner, I can tune it in, and it doesn't stop me from watching television just because I don't understand how it works. I don't understand internal combustion. Doesn't stop me from driving a car. Shoot, I don't understand the chemistry of digestion or taste buds, but doesn't stop me from eating a Cinnabon. How about if I said, I'm never going to eat till I understand digestion? Well, it's never going to happen. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to enjoy what you got, and over the time, you'll get to understand it better and better. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is this guy who comes to Jesus one day, and he's just an honest guy. And he says, Lord, my daughter's sick, and she needs to be healed. And Jesus looks at the guy and says, do you believe I could heal her? And I love this guy because he's honest, he's authentic. He says, well, I want to believe, help me with my doubt. That's a classic answer. I want to believe, help me with my doubt. And Jesus says, that's good enough. Bam, and he heals her. Did you know that you can say that today, this Christmas? That gift that's been under the Christmas tree every year of your life and you've never unwrapped it, the gift of salvation, you can say, I want to believe, help me with my doubt. And Jesus will say, that's good enough. The other reason that keeps us from making that acceptance of God's gift, Christmas gift to us, is actually hurt. Because when we get hurt, and everybody gets hurt in life, we typically build walls around us. And we say, I'm never again going to let any woman hurt me. I'm never going to again let any man hurt me. I'm never going to again let anybody get close to me. I'm not going to get suckered. I'm not going to. And we build up these walls. And sometimes we even build up barriers against God. Now, God hadn't hurt you. Other people have hurt you. We say, well, my brother died, so you get mad at God. Or I had a friend who died in the war, so you get mad at God. God didn't cause that. Most of what happens in the world is not God's will. That's why we're to pray, thy will be done on earth. Most of the things that happen is my will, your will, and the will of other sinful people. And all the problems, God's going, why are you guys doing that? Now, you can stop it real simple. Take away your free will and everybody else's. But he wants us to have a choice. Maybe you've been hurt in a marriage. Maybe you've been hurt in a business. Maybe you've been hurt by a friend who betrayed you. Maybe you've been hurt by religion. Maybe by a church. Maybe you've been hurt by Saddleback Church, this church. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you've been hurt. But let me give you a little friendly advice. Don't ever let the sins of other people keep you from God. That's stupid. God didn't hurt you. Don't ever let the sins of other people keep you from God. You know, Kay went shopping this week for Christmas shopping, and when she came home, she'd been to Macy's, and I was interested that the cover of the Macy's bag says, "A Million Reasons to Believe." I thought, that's interesting, Christmas. A million reasons to believe. But you know, the truth is, you don't need a million reasons to believe. You only need one reason to believe. God loves you. He made you. He created you. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he did it all because God so loved you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you for your amazing love for us, for your grace. I thank you that you love us even when we don't deserve it. Thank you that even when we don't feel it, that you are consistent when we're inconsistent. And Lord, there are people here today who know about you, but they don't really know you. They don't have a friendship with you like I do. They don't have a personal relationship with you. You seem distant, detached to them. So today I pray that they will experience, not just know, but experience your love completely and receive your Christmas gift. Now you pray. Just doesn't matter what you say. Just say yes to God. Say yes. You're confessing Jesus as the Lord of your life. You say, well, I don't know what to pray. Okay, I'll say some words. And if this makes sense to you, you say, me too, God. Dear God, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Maybe never. But I thank you for loving me. Thank you for wanting me. Thank you for creating me. I admit that I often take your love and the good things you've done in my life for granted, and I'm sorry, and I want to be more grateful. This Christmas, I want to accept the Christmas gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I want to open my life to you. I want to be under new management. Jesus Christ, I need you to be my Savior. Because I know I'm not perfect and I could never get into heaven on my own. So I want to ask you to forgive my past. I ask you to give me a purpose in the present. And I ask you to give me a home in heaven in the future. And I want to learn to trust you and love you. Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Rick, for that amazing message. And you know, people are being transformed by these messages every day, but that's only because of your partnership with us. In fact, here's Rick to share some important news with you.
Let's be honest about this time of year. At the end of every year, there are so many ministries that ask for you to support them in the end of year giving. And you know what? We believe in every ministry that proclaims the name of Jesus, and we thank God for them, and I know it can be difficult to decide who to give to. So let me just give you some biblical foundations for giving, some simple guidelines for end-of-year giving. You might think of these three or four things. Number one, give to the ministry that God tells you to support. Go to God, pray to Him, Ask him, say, God, who do you want me to support? And you know what? I support you giving to whoever God tells you to give to. And if it's not Daily Hope, I still support you to give to who God tells you to give to. So pray and ask God. Second, never give when you feel pressured. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are to never give under pressure or compulsion or under guilt. So if you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give, because God tells you in the Word not to give at that time. Give because you want to give, not out of guilt or pressure. Number three, give to where you support and believe in the goals of that particular ministry. Now, every ministry has different goals, but if you believe in and have a heart for going to the last, the least, and the lost, this would be a ministry you should consider supporting. And then finally, give where your gift will be multiplied. For instance, at the end of every year, there is a donor to Daily Hope who offers to give a matching grant to apply to any donation that we receive before the end of the year. Now, what this means is that for every dollar you're able to give this month to Daily Hope, it's going to be doubled. That donor will match it. That multiplies your gift, like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000. If you give $25 to Daily Hope this month, the matching grant will match it at $25. If you're able to give $100, the matching grant will add another $100. That multiplies your gift. I would consider that as a factor in where to give during this month. Now, let me just say this. If you can't help us financially, that's okay. I understand, but I would ask that you pray for us. I'm so grateful for those of you who are a financial supporter of this ministry, that monthly giving month after month. It means so much to me. It means much to God, but it means so much for eternity to those who are hearing the good news for the very first time. And so you and I are partners together in reaching people for Christ all around the world. In closing, let me just ask you to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. And pray that God's word will be taught clearly, with compassion, with clarity, with simplicity in this new year. And that it will not only help you as you listen to these broadcasts, but it will help us reach people for Christ and disciple believers and build churches all around the world, especially in the tribes that have never heard the name of Christ. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your prayers. And God bless you.
All this month, every dollar you give to help Daily Hope share the transforming love of Jesus with people around the world will be matched up to $100,000. You can give right now by going to PastorRick.com. Or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.